This evening we read the 46th Psalm, found on page 557 in the Pew Bible, Psalm 46. It is one of the Psalms that is attributed to the sons of Korah. It was used as a song of worship. It's written to the choir master. Familiar psalm and a psalm of great comfort to people throughout the ages. Psalm 46, the inspired word of our Lord. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. Selah. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress, Selah. And may the Lord bless the reading of his word to your life and to my life as we look at it together this evening. Congregation in the Lord Jesus Christ, it was Solomon who pointed out that since no man knows the future, who can tell him what is to come? While we don't know the future, we do have in the Bible as a whole, and in this psalm in particular, the promises of God to see us through whatever may come our way, through the pilgrimage of life that each one of us is on. This psalm has been of great comfort to God's people in every era of time. It was especially a psalm of comfort to Martin Luther. He lived in that turbulent time of the Reformation. And as many of you are probably aware, he had death threats made against him. He faced a great deal of opposition and at times of discouragement and fear. He would say to his friend Philip Melanchthon, "Let's sing the 46th Psalm." Luther wrote two musical renditions of this psalm, "God is our refuge and our strength," and also that well-known hymn of the Reformation, "A mighty fortress is our God." Luther found great comfort in all the troubles and trials of his life by knowing the truth of verse 1, "God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble." The psalm has given comfort and strength to believers in every era of time, including Elizabeth Elliot. Elizabeth Elliot was a widow twice over. Her husband was a missionary to Indians in Ecuador, but they turned against him. They took his life. He was murdered. She moved back to the States and remarried and was a widow again as her second husband. Had a long, drawn-out bout with cancer and died from that cancer that consumed him so slowly but so completely. And through those two traumatic deaths, the murder of her first husband, so shocking and sudden, and then this long, drawn-out death by cancer of her second husband, she found great comfort in the truth of this psalm, great comfort in the truth that God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. The background of the psalm is rooted in political and military conflict. Many commentators, though not all the commentators, but many, believe that the context is when the Assyrians attempted to destroy Jerusalem during the reign of King Hezekiah. The Assyrians, led by King Sennacherib, had surrounded Jerusalem. They had over 185,000 soldiers, and they had those men who were their heralds who would announce to the people of Jerusalem how they would capture them. They had them calling out to them, "Beware, lest Hezekiah mislead you by saying, 'The Lord will deliver us.' Has any of the gods of the nations delivered his land out of the hand of the king of Assyria? Where are the gods of Hamath and Arpad? Where are the gods of Sepharvaim? Have they delivered Samaria out of my hand? Who among all these gods of these lands have delivered their lands out of my hand that the Lord should deliver Jerusalem out of my hand?" As you might imagine, Hezekiah, king of Judah, was greatly distressed. Isaiah 37 describes how as soon as King Hezekiah heard it, he tore his clothes, he covered himself with ashes and sackcloth, and went into the house of the Lord. Hezekiah and the people of Judah prayed earnestly to the Lord, and the Lord responded by saying, "Because you have prayed to me concerning Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I will defend this city to save it, for my own sake and for the sake of my servant David." And many of you know how the Lord defended Jerusalem. Many of you undoubtedly recall that when the people of Jerusalem got up the next morning, there were over 185,000 soldiers who the Lord had slain during the night. Sennacherib escaped back to Nineveh, the capital of Assyria, but as he was worshiping his false god in the temple of Nisroch, two of his sons assassinated him, and a third son took over as the next king of Assyria. And many commentators believe that this thought was in the minds of the sons of Korah, that this incident is reflected in Psalm 46. What an amazing deliverance! What an answer to the prayers of Hezekiah and the people. It portrays the truth of verse 5. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. However, that verse is not just looking back at a military conflict in the Old Testament era. That verse is also looking ahead to God's eternal city, to the city having foundations whose architect and builder is God. Although the world expresses their disdain and hostility toward God and his kingdom, toward his people and his city, God's kingdom will not fail. For God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. No wonder this psalm begins with the assurance, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. No wonder Psalm 46 has brought comfort and strength to a multitude of believers over the ages. And it should be of great comfort to us as we look ahead in uncertain and troubled times to the future. After all, the psalm reminds us that our Lord truly reigns, working his sovereign will as he directs all circumstances in life toward his goal, toward his divine plan. In a world that seems out of control, our sovereign God is yet in control, controlling all things. The Lord certainly controls all things in nature. Verse 2 and verse 3 describe cataclysmic events. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth give way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling, Selah. Earthquakes, hurricanes, tornadoes, as well as the sunshine and the bright blue skies and the changing of the seasons, all these things are under the control, not of human efforts like climate change, but under the control of our almighty sovereign God. He is the creator of the cosmos. He created this world, and he watches over and controls all the various things that happen in our world. In the closing chapters of Job, the Lord addressed Job by asking him, "Have you entered the storehouses of the snow, or have you seen the storehouses of the hail? Who cuts a channel for the torrents of rain and a path for the thunderstorm?" It's not climate change. It is the Lord who controls all elements of nature. And because God controls nature, we need not fear, even when cataclysmic events take place. The same principle holds true for you and for me as held true for the disciples so long ago. They were in that little boat out in the sea when that terrific storm arose. The sea was deep and treacherous. The storm was whipping up the waves, and there was Jesus sound asleep. Mark chapter 4 describes how the disciples woke him, and they said, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke, and he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was great calm. He said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" That doesn't mean that God will always calm the storm. It has been rightly pointed out that sometimes God calms the storm, but sometimes God allows the storm to rage, but he calms his child with that perfect peace that only God can give. But either way, whether he calms the storms in your life, whatever they may be, or whether he calms you, his child, with his presence and with the promises of his word, either way, he is faithful. We are simply to be still and know that in all the troubles and chaos of life, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Psalm 46 also assures us that the Lord is the Lord of history. History is nothing less than his story. All the chaos, all the confusion, the rising and dying away of political world powers is in the hand of the Lord. Verse 6, the nations rage, the kingdoms totter, he utters his voice, the earth melts. You know, Daniel's prophecy is often said to be a companion book to Revelation, and some Christians believe that by reading Daniel and Revelation at the same time, they can discern which nations will rise to power before the second coming of Jesus Christ and which nations will fall. But a main purpose for Daniel's prophecy is it teaches us that Jesus is truly the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. A main purpose in that process of showing the majestic rule of Christ is to reinforce that the Lord is sovereign over all the nations. That purpose in Daniel is stated multiple times, including chapter 4, verse 17 and verse 25, and chapter 5, verse 21. The decision is announced by messengers. The holy ones declare the verdict so that the living may know that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of earth and gives them to anyone he wishes and sets over them the lowliest of people. Throughout history, the Lord has allowed some nations to rise to power and others to fall from power and be destroyed. Isaiah 40, verse 15 points out, "Behold, the nations are like a drop in the bucket to the Lord. They are accounted as dust on the scales." Likewise, Proverbs 21, verse 1 observes that the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, and the Lord directs the king, the great politician, however the Lord desires. And Daniel observed in Daniel 2, verse 21, he changes times and seasons. He deposes kings and raises up others. Those verses don't just apply to the Old Testament rising and falling of political leaders back in their era. They apply to us as well, as we look at the turbulent events in our world today. No matter what comes our way, whether natural disasters, political upheaval, war, pandemics, economic depression, or whatever else impacts our lives, our God is sovereign, and He is in control, and He uses all these various things for His purposes, for His divine plan. History is indeed His story. And history, rather than being a series of circular events that happen over and over again and are meaningless because they are repetitious, rather, history is a straight line. It's theological. It is moving toward the very certain and definite time when Jesus Christ returns in glory to judge the living and the dead, and to usher in that eternity of great blessing and joy for believers, and of righteous judgment on those who have rejected the gospel and rejected Jesus Himself. This psalm also assures us that God holds the future. Because He holds the future, we have the assurance of verse 10, where the Lord declares, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in all the earth." The Lord our God is and will be victorious. He does indeed hold the future. The hymn writer wrote, "I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from its sunshine, for its skies may turn to gray. I don't worry o'er the future, for I know what Jesus said, and today our walk beside Him, for He knows what is ahead. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand." And there's great truth in that hymn. Truth that is summarized in verse 10, which assures us that whatever transpires in our world and whatever transpires in our personal lives, we can be still and know that God will be exalted among the nations. He will be exalted in all the earth. Through the desolation spoken about in verse 8 and the wars spoken about in verse 9, God is yet at work. And when the last chapter of history is written, it will show us that God will be exalted among the nations. He will be exalted in all the earth. And that way, verse 10 is a foreshadow of Philippians 2, which describes how every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The nations and all the earth will know the reality of who God is and His majestic greatness. While we often take verse 10 as referring to us as Christians, and it certainly does, in its historical setting, it refers specifically to those unrepentant nations, such as the Assyrians, who were ready to attack Judah. The Lord said to them, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in all the earth." Every knee will indeed bow before Christ, and every tongue confess that He is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Since the Lord holds all things in His hands, how are we to respond? Verse 1 tells us to find refuge and strength in God alone. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. And the key word is present. There is never a time when the Lord won't be present in your life. He is ever present. He is always present. His promise is, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. I will be with you always, even to the very end of the age." The promise given to Joshua in Deuteronomy 31:8 is also given to us. Joshua was facing the great challenge of leading Israel into the promised land. He knew that there were hostile nations there. He knew that the challenges were great. And the Lord said, "It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed." Those words the Lord gave to Moses to give to Joshua. Our God is a very present help, not just in times of war or famine or natural disasters, but always. And whatever problems of life you and I face, our God is and will be an ever-present help, an all-powerful help. His ultimate help is found through the forgiveness of sin that is only received through faith in Jesus Christ. All the problems in our life and in our world are a result of sin. Sin that is in within us as children of Adam. Sin that is in the world that looks like it is so alluring and pleasant and draws us away from Christ into the things of the world. And then the sinful temptations put before us so seductively by the evil one. And when we fall into sin, it is Christ alone who is able to forgive our sin and to reconcile us to our triune God. He shed His blood to cover our sins. And then when our sins are covered and the righteous and proper wrath of our triune God is appeased, then in the place of our sin, He imputes His perfect record of righteous obedience to every nuance of the law, so that we stand before our triune God without any sin and credited with the very righteousness of Christ. He is the only help that we have, not only for the forgiveness of sins, but for every challenge of life. As one commentator, Derek Kidner, observed, "Our true security is in God, not God plus anything." Many people look at their finances for security, others their careers, or perhaps their networking resources, friends and families, business connections. But finances are by nature uncertain. Worldly wealth can evaporate before our eyes. Likewise, careers that seem stable and strong can be terminated unexpectedly, without any advance warning. Likewise, business and family associations, although they can be great blessings, nevertheless let us down at times, because even our closest family members and friends are, like us, sinners, and so they will let us down even as we have often let others down. If there is one thing that every financial recession should teach us, it is this, that everything in life is uncertain apart from Christ. Everything you have based your security on apart from Christ can be snatched away from you in a moment. As Derek Kidner wrote, our true security is in God, not God plus anything. Or as Psalm 20, verse 7 puts it, some trust in chariots and some trust in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Or Psalm 62, verse 10, which warns, if riches increase, set not your heart on them. The only way to trust in the Lord is to come to Him through saving faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus came to save His people from their sin, and as He Himself declared, John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me, Jesus declared. If you don't have Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then you won't have the security of having the Lord as your refuge and your strength. But far worse, if you don't have Jesus as your Savior and Lord, you will have an eternity of immense sorrow instead of an eternity of great blessing. On the other hand, if you know with true saving faith Jesus as your Savior from sin and the Lord of your life, then cast your fears and your cares upon Him. We all have fears. So did the disciples, the apostles, the bravest prophets of old. They too had fears. I like what John Calvin wrote about the statement in verse 2 and verse 3, where the psalmist writes, therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling, Selah. Calvin wrote, when the sacred poet says, we will not fear, he is not to be understood as saying that the minds of the godly are exempt from all solicitude, that is care, concern, fear, as if they were destitute of feeling, for there is a great difference between insensibility and the confidence of faith. And the confidence of faith comes in believing the promises that the Lord will be with all who have saving faith in Him alone. Verse 7 declares, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress, Selah. And verse 11 reinforces that truth word for word. When the psalmist writes, the Lord of hosts is with us, he is speaking about the power of the Lord. The word translated hosts, the Lord of hosts is with us, is a translation of the Hebrew Sabaoth, meaning armies. The hosts of heaven form an angelic army far greater than any earthly army. You may recall how the Syrian army surrounded Elisha and his servant at Dothan. And you remember that Elisha was calm, but his servant was terrified because here they were surrounded completely by the enemy forces. And Elisha prayed, oh Lord, please open his eyes that he may see. So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. You see, there is an angelic army of God, invisible to our eyes, that is far greater and far more powerful than any earthly army. Because the Lord of hosts is with us, we know the truth of 1 John 4, verse 4, that he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. When the psalmist writes that the God of Jacob is our fortress, he is reminding us that this eternal, almighty God, the Lord of hosts, is also willing to be a fortress to fallen sinners. The Lord is described as the God of Jacob. Jacob was a terrible sinner, a schemer and a liar. His name means literally one who grasps at the heel. He was always looking for a way to deceive. Yet the Lord of hosts made a covenant with him, with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And because of his covenant promises, the Lord of hosts redeemed Jacob by the gift of faith in the Messiah. Faith in the one who was promised to Adam and Eve. Faith in the one who would crush the serpent and bring salvation to sinners. By grace, through faith in the eternal Christ, a terrible sinner was transformed. Not just Jacob, but you and me, if we truly have saving faith in Christ alone this evening. Jesus is known by many names, the Alpha and the Omega, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, but he is also known as that name, Emmanuel, God with us. Although truly God, one with the Father and the Holy Spirit, Jesus is also truly human. He is like you and like me in every way except for sin. Because he is truly God, he has power to make complete atonement for all of our sins. And because he is truly human, he perfectly represents us. Therefore, he and he alone brings salvation to everyone who has saving faith in him. Even though you and I are like Jacob, terrible sinners at times, schemers and liars, forgiveness is offered full and free when we confess our sins, no matter how shameful, repulsive, or embarrassing they may be, and trust in Christ alone for salvation. And we all stand in need of that forgiveness. We are all more like Jacob than we care to admit. Like Jacob, we are sinners, but sinners saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. When we trust in Christ alone, then we have all his great and precious promises. Never will he leave us, never will he forsake us. Instead, he will be with us to the very end of this life and throughout all eternity. He will be our guide, Psalm 48:14 declares, even to the very end. And before ascending into heaven, you recall that Jesus said to his disciples and says to us in his timeless word, behold, I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. Thinking back and how God has worked in the past gives us hope for the future. We don't know how the Lord will use the events that unfold in our lives. Perhaps when war comes up, he won't intervene as he did with Sennacherib. He may allow terrorists or an invading army to be victorious. He may allow them to win the battle, but not the war. And if that's the case, even then, we can find perfect peace and comfort, even amid horrific conflict. We see that in the life of many of God's people, including Habakkuk. Because of Judah's sin, the Lord chastised the Judeans by sending in the Chaldeans, also known as the Babylonians, to overthrow them. The Chaldeans were a powerful and feared nation. The knowledge that they were coming to take Judah captive angered the prophet Habakkuk. He questioned why God would allow that to happen. He acknowledged that Judah was a wicked nation, but he said, the Chaldeans are way more wicked than we are. How can you allow them to come and take us into captivity? But after initially complaining to the Lord, Habakkuk stilled himself, putting his trust in God alone. He wrote those beautiful words in Habakkuk 3, verse 16 to 19, anticipating the enemy overtaking Judah. I hear, and my body trembles, my lips quiver at the sound. Rottenness enters into my bones, my legs tremble beneath me. Yet I will wait quietly for the day of trouble to come upon the people who invade us. Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God the Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on the high places. You see, he realized in his day the truth of Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Since no man knows the future, Solomon wrote, who can tell him what is to come? We don't know what the future holds by way of great blessings, prosperity, and health, or by way of great sorrow, death, and economic deprivation. But if you and I truly have our faith in Christ alone this evening, then we will have the same assurance as the sons of Korah, the same comfort of Luther, Elizabeth Elliot, Habakkuk, and untold numbers of other believers, the comfort that God is indeed our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Amen. Our Father in heaven, how thankful we are that you will never leave us nor forsake us. We live in a world that is so hostile to you and to your children, to your followers. And yet you give us a peace that surpasses all understanding and a strength that is not our own. How thankful that we can know that you are our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Father, above all, we thank you that seeing that our great trouble is with sin, you sent your Son to be the Savior of all who turn to him in humble repentance and true saving faith, no matter what is in their lives. Lord, we thank you that no matter what sin we struggle with, we can find complete forgiveness through faith in your dear Son. We pray in his precious name. Amen.